Good morning. In normal time, usually we, along with the bulletin, we put in special offering envelope for our anniversary Sunday, but since we can't, you can give online for our anniversary Sunday special offering. We are continuing with the Enemies of Our Spiritual Life series. It's a little things that really kind of take us away from God. And we talked about how our indifference in what is happening around us can really lead us to our spiritual sickness. And also our unforgiveness toward the people that we need to forgive and to be forgiven. That can be our spiritual enemies. And today we're going to be sharing about prayerlessness, how without prayer we cannot go on and survive. How do you kill a tree? There are many ways. You can use an axe and chop it down. You can use a chainsaw and cut it down. Or if you are not a strong person to bring it down with an axe or with a chainsaw, you can just strip off the bark from the tree and they will wither away. They will die slowly. It is not the big things that takes us into spiritual weakness, but it is something that is small as prayerlessness that keeps us away from God and dry us spiritually. If you don't take care of termite, a little tiny creature called termite, they can bring down a mansion. If you don't take care of this little thing called prayer, it can really bring us down spiritually. We can become powerless, ineffective, and unspiritual. We need to really kind of do an inventory within ourselves. What do we need to fix? What do we need to repair? What do we need to restore in order for us to be spiritually healthy? And how is your prayer life? A lot of times when someone asks you, how is your prayer life? You say, oh, it's okay. Oh, so-so. But if you're really honest with yourself, how are you praying? And how much are you praying? How often are you praying? And how are you praying? It's a question that we need to really be honest before the Holy Spirit to make a right assessment. You can go to a doctor and you can lie about your symptoms. You can lie about where does it really hurt. And you'll be hurting on your back, or you can be saying, oh, my arm hurts. There's no way that doctor can figure out your pain unless you tell them honestly where it's hurting and all the symptoms. Likewise, we need to be honest about where we are in our spiritual walk with God. A poll was taken by some group to see how much U.S. Christians in the United States pray. They said among the Christians, 29% prays once a day, and 25% prays twice a day. And what is the topic of prayer that they pray about? Well, 82% of this 25 and 29% focus their prayer on better health and prosperity. God, give me good health. Make sure that I don't catch COVID-19, and make sure that I hit jackpot or hit lottery or something. And whopping 87% of people who pray believe that God really answered prayers. Though Christians have positive attitude toward prayer and they know the need for prayer, how come they don't pray? Very few pray. Maybe because we take prayer as something that we use in times of emergency. In times of urgency, a fisherman was out fishing and he encountered a storm, and he used to go to church long, long time ago, but he stopped going. But he remembered in times such as these, he needs to pray. So he began his prayer, and this is how he prayed. God, I haven't asked anything for 15 years. And if you take me to a safe land, then I will not bother you for another 15 years. I mean, that seems to be the prayer, understanding of prayer that many people have. That we are bothering God with the matters that I can take care of. And in times of urgency, when I cannot take care of it with my own strength, with my own power, we rely on God. We use prayer like first aid kit. Emergency, take out the bandages and fix the stuff. In times of anguish or terror, we tend to pray. Well, we need to have a right understanding of prayer in order to really get the full benefit. What is prayer? Prayer is not a 911. It's not an emergency call. It is a lifestyle. Many of us treat prayer as a last resort, but we need to remember that it is the first thing that we need to do. It's not that we run out of options and we have to pray. No, before you even think about your options, you begin with the prayer. God, how will you lead my life? How will you lead this path? And many treat prayers as shopping lists. We think that prayer is something that we ask God and he provides. A little boy was telling his parents, Mom, Dad, do you need anything? I'm going to pray now. As if we're going to make a shopping list to see what I need and God is going to give me. The real prayer is time of exposure. It's coming before God and revealing myself who I really am. You see, in a very secret time that I'm alone, I realize who I really am. Me standing here as your pastor, I have to behave like a pastor. Standing before my children, I have to behave like a father. Standing before my wife, I have to behave like a husband. Standing before God, I can be real myself, without really facade, without really putting on a mask. It's coming before God as I am, and you enter into the presence of God. Richard Foster said this in his book, Prayer. Prayer is the key, and the door is Jesus Christ. It is entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ through prayer. That is why we pray. In Christ's name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Because we enter in the presence of God. No longer we need to stand outside the door barred from entering in his presence. Well, if we know that prayer is so needed and so good, then why aren't more people practicing it? You see, today's passage, Jesus was in agony. He had crossed before him. He knew the time was coming that he had to go through the crucifixion. Yet, you know, he just had, as a human being, he was perfect God and he was a perfect human being. As a human being, he was in agony. He was in turmoil. I mean, who in the right sense of mind would want to go through the cross? It is the most horrific death. It's easy for you to get shot and die and beheaded and die, but cross is was a slow death, painful death. And Jesus, he wanted to pray, and his prayer was this: God, if there's any way that I can just go around this, if there's any way that I can just not go through the cross, please let it be that way. That was a prayer that he wanted to make to God. And the Bible says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Have you ever been in sorrow to the point of death? He was in such agony and turmoil. And he didn't want to pray alone. He took his disciples to pray with him. But they didn't pray. They fell asleep. Not once, but twice. Why? Why didn't they pray? Why can't we pray? The reason for prayerlessness is many. Well, for one, we blame on the busyness. We're too busy. 24 hours is not enough. I wish that we had a couple more hours, add a couple more hours to 24, 26, then I could add prayer in there. But I'm too busy. I have so many things to do. If there was only more time in my day, then we think that we can solve the problem. But did you know, no matter how busy you are, no matter how little time you have, whatever you consider to be important, you do it. For example, take eating, for example. You eat because it's important. If you don't eat, you die. Even if you're not hungry, when the meal time comes, I feel like I have to eat. Otherwise, you know, I'm going to be hungry until the next meal. So I eat. It's important to live. If you don't eat, you die. So you eat, no matter how busy you are. Even if you have like packed schedule, you fit in like 10 minutes and eat quick meal. And that's why, you know, into the busy schedule, they invented food called a fast food. And they serve you fast and you're supposed to eat it fast. Well, sleeping is important. Without sleep, you would not be able to function the next day. It's important to sleep. If you have insomnia, you're in big trouble because you cannot function normally. So you sleep. To some people, golf is very important. To them, golf is like next to God or even before God. You know, it's just they have to play golf. So no matter how busy they are, they put into their schedule. That's how prayer ought to be. It is so important to our spiritual health that we need to fit in somewhere because it's critical, it's crucial that we pray. It's like breathing. If you hold your breath, you die. If you don't pray, our spirit begins to wither away. So we need to pray. It has to be intentional. You cannot wait until, I just wait until this feeling of prayer comes. I'm going to wait till, you know, I feel like praying, that I'm going to pray. It will never happen. You have to schedule it in. And I tell the young couple who are getting married, this, before people get married, they date a lot. They go out and, you know, they spend money and spend time together. They talk, even guys who never like to talk. Before they get married so that they can score points, they go out and they pretend as if they're talkers. They're not gentlemen, but they act like gentlemen. You know, they do all kinds of stuff intentionally. But when they get married, it just, then everything disappears. And the wife says, you changed. Well, it didn't change. He just came normal. That's what happened. But, you know, so I tell the young couple when I officiate the wedding, I tell them, make it intentional that you have date nights or date days that you put in your schedule, in your busy schedule. Schedule it. Even if you're going to have only a cup of coffee, you know, just go out, two of you. Even if you have kids, you know, make sure you get a babysitter and go out. And I tell the parents, you know, make sure that you watch their your grandchildren when they have, your children have babies, so that your children can go out, spend time together. It has to be intentional. So does prayer. Prayer has to be intentional. Put in your schedule. You know, people say, oh, you know, I'm so busy. Well, people think they don't have time to pray because they think that good prayer is a long prayer. It doesn't have to be long prayer. It can be short. It can be a coffee time, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. It can be short time. There's an old Korean gospel song called, you know, did you pray before you left home? 오늘 집을 나서기 전 기도했나요? Did you pray before you left home? Before you leave home, you can have a short prayer, 2-3 minutes prayer. God, today, this is my schedule. Be with me, walk with me, hold my hand. I'm going to be meeting with this person. It's going to be a difficult meeting. Make sure that you lead me to the path that you feel it's the right way. So make it intentional. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, Daniel was captive in Babylon. He was a prisoner of war in a foreign land. His circumstances and situation wasn't conducive for him to live a spiritual life, but he made it intentional. Every day he opened his window toward Jerusalem and he prayed 3 times a day. Do you think that happened automatically? He made it intentional. He scheduled it in into his schedule so that he would pray every day. That's what we need to do. Instead of waiting for the feeling to pray come, make it intentional. And we feel like, you know, prayer just ends whenever I just amen and then prayer is done. No, prayer is a life. Prayer does not begin when we kneel, nor does it cease when we rise. It continues. We just live a prayerful life. Not only do we blame on our business for not praying, but at times our success drives away our prayer life. I get invited to pray for people who are beginning new business. You know, I go there and pray, God, you know, bless this establishment, bless this place, that it will really, though the beginning is humble, may they prosper in the future. And they say, yeah, we will pray for the business. And I say, I pray for this business to do well. But the problem is when it prospers, they stop praying. When they're suffering and when they're trying to make it, they pray a lot. But then when they succeed is when the prayer stops. Time to time, I get asked to pray for the children of our church members as they're preparing to go into school. You know, they're applying to certain school. Pastor, pray for my son, pray for my daughter, that they would make it, that they would succeed. And at times, I get prayer requests from the parents who have older children who need to get married and say, God, you know, Pastor, pray for my daughter, that she will meet a good person and all that. But once things happen to the way that they want, they enter into a renowned school or they meet someone and get married, all of a sudden, when things go their way, prayer just stops. The truth of the matter is, you need to pray more in order for God to continue to pour out his blessings as well. And there are other people who think that God may answer Pastor Jimbo's prayer, but I don't think God answers my prayers. I knew this one deacon who had two daughters, and he was asking God to give him son. And he asked me to pray too. Pastor, will you pray that our third child will be a son? And I said, okay, I'll pray that your third child will be a son. So I prayed, oh God, you know, give this deacon a son. He had a child, he had a daughter. And this, he came to me and said this, I don't think God listens to my prayer. He said, because he didn't get it his way, he felt like, well, I don't think God listens to my prayer. God never has, he doesn't have prayer that goes unanswered. Every prayer is answered. God's answer to this deacon was, you are going to have another daughter, third daughter. In fact, that daughter was the most cutest baby. You know, if they had a boy, I don't know what would have changed. But God said, you will have a daughter. And that was his answer. As I visit hospitals, we see people who are just in the last stage of their life, terminal illness, and they're just, you know, struggling to stay alive. But yet we pray with the family, God, we believe in God of miracle. Please save this person, make them come alive. But they die. Did God not answer our prayer? No. He answered in a way that it is better for this person to be in my kingdom than suffering like this. You see, God always answers our prayers. It's just that we do not get it the way we want, and we feel like God hasn't answered our prayer. When we pray, how do we pray then? We need to know our place. When we pray, we need to know where God is and where I am. See, I do not command God what to do. I am the servant and he is the master, and I just come before the master and I am under the mercy of the master. I do not order him what to do. But oftentimes we say, you know, God, do it this way, or we put him in a corner and we almost threaten him. If you don't do this, then I'm going to do this to you. While praying, we need to accept divine leadership of God. Look at how Jesus prayed. Jesus said, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. This is what he wants. Jesus wants, God, if it's possible, you're the master. If it's possible, can you take this burden away from me? But next statement is what puts God in his place, in his leadership. Yet not as I will, but as you will. We have a lot of prayer requests to God. And at the end of each prayer, I think we need to really remember to pray this prayer of Jesus Christ. That not by my will, but your will be done. Not by my will, but your will be done. And when we pray, we don't have to make an eloquent prayer. We don't have to recite a poem to impress God. God is not impressed by your wording, by your eloquence. God wants to see your heart, your truthfulness, your honesty, your earnestness. Prayer must not come from the roof of a mouth, but from the root of our hearts. It has to come from within. What is real me? And this has to come from within us. I grew up in Monterey, and in Monterey there's a naval postgraduate school. It's where naval officers come and do a postgraduate work. And a lot of Korean naval officers came to study. And my father was doing ministry in Monterey, and one time this one a new person came from Korea. He was a high-ranking officer in Korean Navy. He came to church and he accepted Jesus Christ and baptized. And all the people who were baptized, they have to make a prayer. They have to pray. This was the first time in his life he ever entered church. First time that he actually, you know, just experienced anything Christian. So he was asked to pray, and he began to pray. And usually when we pray, we say, you know, Almighty God, amazing God, loving God. That's how we begin. But he didn't know how to start. So he said, like a chilled ice water of summer, God. That's how he began. And he began just praying, just all kinds of, he prayed politics, you know, he went from Korea to U.S. And he began to talk about, you know, just his family story. And prayer was kept on going on and on. And quickly, people who were there realized he didn't know how to end it. He didn't know how to end it. And I guess he realized that he was just mumbling on. So he just paused. There was a pause. And then he said in Korean, 됐습니다. You know, that's it. He just ended, that's it. And people laughed. That was the most, you know, joyful prayer I ever heard. He said, you know, that's it. And then people started laughing right after prayer. Usually people respond with amen. But this prayer was responded with the laughter. And you begin to wonder, people who are like nitty-picking, you know, that prayer wasn't a prayer because he didn't end it with Jesus' name. Well, let me tell you, do you expect from a newborn to just babble, recite poems and eloquence? You'll be happy if a baby just blurts out, mama, oppa. It's just whatever word that comes out, sound comes out, you'll go, so happy. Jesus is not going to hold him with the technicality that I'm not going to receive your prayer because you didn't follow the technicality of starting with honoring God, you know, just adoring God, you know, with acts, A-C-T-S, then confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. You know, some people follow this kind of system. Just because he didn't follow it and end it with the Jesus prayer, that's not a good prayer. No, that was the most genuine prayer that he could have made. You see, God is not looking for eloquence. That's why even the people with the disabilities can pray. The mute can pray. Just God wants to see our hearts. What happens when we pray? Prayerless pews make the powerless pews. But prayerful people who are gathered makes a powerful church. Same with our own lives. When we pray, God installed within us power. Don't you want power living in this world that is so hard? I think having power and without not having power makes a huge difference. Everyone carries a cell phone, and when the juice is running out, you look for a power line. You look for power because that power is going to get this phone going. But without power, you cannot function. Likewise, without prayer, we don't have power. If the Word of God is like the engine of a locomotive, prayer is a fuel that moves the engine. See, we learn the Word of God, and we just, you know, hear so much Word of God, read the Word of God, and we know what God's desire is. With prayer, we fuel it. We ignite it so that it will have power. And people who pray, these things happen. When we pray, sometimes God changes our surroundings. God changes our surroundings so that we will be able to exercise our power. But oftentimes, God leaves a surrounding just alone. Whatever circumstance I'm in, it's just nothing is changing. But God changes me so that I will be able to handle the situation. God gives me the strength and power to be able to overcome the hardship that I may be going through. And when we pray, we change heart of God. We change heart of God. How will you be able to change your spouse unless you converse? Unless you have this trusting relationship to talk to each other. My wife and I talk to each other, and she influences me a lot, and I influence her a lot. You know, at times I'm just stubborn about something, and I hear something from her, and I'm able to change. Just a few weeks ago, my wife told me, you know, honey, you are looking at your notes too much during the sermon. Don't look at the notes too much. Yeah, because it hurt when I heard that. Because I want to just give a good sermon. That's why I have notes here and I'm just looking at it. But just, you know, I read about, you know, 4 or 5 times before I came up here, and I'm able to look at you more than looking at the notes. It changes. When you have that relationship of conversing with each other, you know each other's heart and you begin to change. When you're able to talk to God and to hear from God through His Word, God changes, and we change God, and God changes us. You know, you may say, well, how can God be changed? God is not changing. Well, I'm talking about, you know, as we desire certain things, you know, God will say, okay, He will hear us. I told you this story, I think in Korean sermon, or even here too. Among our 6 children, there's a kid who always gets his way. Like I told you about my iWatch. I had iWatch, and one of our kids got it. And other kids were complaining, how come he gets it? Because he asked. You didn't ask. He asked. So from that time on, every time I have a good thing, he asked me, can I have it? He will not, but then at that time, he got it. He changed my heart to give it to him. Likewise, we have this relationship with God, and we're able to really, God changing my heart and me changing God's heart as well. Are you suffering from spiritual dryness and spiritual bankruptedness and spiritual prayerlessness? Don't look around to find excuse or blame. Look within and ask God, God help me. God help me. Prayer is a conversation with God. What a privilege, what a grace, what a blessing. Yeah. If we know that we have a tool to really be blessed and to be strong living in this world, why don't we? Let's pray. God, we give you thanks, for we are so privileged to be able to communicate with you. You are God who just doesn't tell us what to do, do this or do that, but you are willing to hear from your children, from your creatures. God, as we have this privilege, may we not squander, may we not just be lazy and not use it, but to be able to be in deep relationship with you as we embark in our prayer life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.